Chapter 70. Jesse drove his Explorer across the bridge to Stiles Island and Dylan Taylor's cottage. He sometimes forgot how beautiful Paradise and the surrounding area could be. When he first arrived in town, and for many years after, he was struck by the differences between the stark desert allure of his Tucson youth, the seductive hypnotic blue of the Pacific, and the rocky white-chopped charm of the Massachusetts coast. It was easy to think about beauty when remembering Diana. Jesse had been careful to avoid Alicia since the evening of the shooting. But after getting off the phone with Abe Rosen, he arranged a meeting. Dylan Taylor's cottage on Stiles, away from the press corps' prying eyes, seemed a logical choice. Monty Bernstein's Porsche, Dylan's Range Rover, and Alicia's Miata were parked on the gravel driveway. Jesse parked around back. "Nice place," Jesse said, when Dylan greeted him at the door. "Like the Range Rover, it comes with the job. Come on in." Monty Bernstein waved at Jesse, but Alicia didn't seem to know what to do or how to react. Jesse took care of that himself. He walked over to her and shook her hand, making sure to hold on to it and to squeeze it, so that she knew he was with her. It was better than him trying to express it with words. She understood. "Thanks, Jesse," she said, staring up at him. "Dylan told me what you're doing for me." "I'm just trying to do what's right. If what you say is true, you don't deserve to get railroaded." "You believe me?" she said. "I believe the evidence, and I don't think Weld had all of it when she made her findings public." They all gave Jesse perplexed looks. He told them about the connection between Vanderkamp and Cummings, and the murders earlier that morning. Monty Bernstein got a glint in his eye. "Finally, something," the lawyer said, raising his hands to the ceiling.
"But what does it mean, Jesse?" Alicia asked.
"I don't know yet, but I can accept only so many coincidences. I was there last night, pushing the Cummings kid hard. And now they're dead. Another coincidence. Sorry, not buying. They shut off their security cameras and their weapons were still holstered. They knew the person who executed them. I'd bet on it."
"But it doesn't help my client," Monty said.
"No, but it's creating room for doubt. And that's something I hear you're pretty skilled with, counselor." Monty smiled his expensive white smile. "Even Weld will have to wonder about the Cummings murders," Jesse said. "It won't take much more for one of us to find something out and get her to reopen the investigation."
"But Jesse," Dylan said, "you wanted to talk to Alicia. Was it about this?"
"No. I wanted to go over the statement she made to Weld about what happened that night."
Alicia frowned at hearing that. "I've been over this 1,000 times with them. Please, don't make me..."
He raised his palms to her. "I understand. What I'm interested in isn't what you said to Weld. I'm interested in what you didn't tell her." Alicia jumped to her feet, anger replacing her hurt.
"Are you accusing me of something, Jesse?"
"Uh-huh."
"Of what?"
"Of being human and following your training."
"I'm confused, Jesse."
"It's simple," he said. "I trained you, and you're the daughter of a cop. You've been told to never add anything to an answer, to never embellish or fill in details that weren't asked for."
"I know. I told you that myself."
"And as a human, there are things you might have wanted to say during your statement that made you feel foolish or were embarrassing, so you didn't say them." "I've been at this a long time, Alicia, and I know there's always something else or something more. You're not in court now, and you're with friends. Is there anything you didn't tell well? It doesn't matter how insignificant it seems or how silly." She bowed her head and in a whisper said, "The cat."
"Cat? What cat?" Monty asked. "You never mentioned a cat."
"Like Jesse said, I felt stupid."
Jesse pushed her. "Tell us about the cat."
"Right at the end of the chase, when Vanderkamp was approaching Newton Alley, I got the sense that there was someone else there besides the suspect and me. In the shadows, mirroring my movements. I heard a plastic garbage can fall, a and swung my gun around. But a gray tabby cat came out of the dark.
Exactly where was this? Jesse asked.
You know where the back of the last building on Newton Alley bumps out on Bridge Street? Where the people put out their trash in the triangle between the back of the building and the street?
And this sense you were being mirrored, was it just a feeling, or was it something you heard?
Alicia looked embarrassed and bowed her head again. I thought I was imagining it, because I was a little drunk, I guess.
Let's never mention that last part ever again, Monty said.
Jesse stood up. That's good, Alicia. It gives us more to work with. Monty walked him to the door.
Do you really think this means something, Jesse? Or is it grabbing at straws time?
Jesse shrugged.
We'll see, Monty. As of right now, you're still her best hope.
The lawyer grabbed Jesse's biceps.
Then you better find something solid, and soon.